Welcome everyone to this special bootleg episode of Whiskey Wanderlust. I'm Corey.
And I'm Ryan.
And today we bring to you guys a special interview, which was completely unplanned, but we were able to pull off in December. Ryan, do kind of set the stage for us.
Yeah, so we were attending the Laws Whiskey House's soft opening or soft launch of their Whiskey Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. It was an invite-only event. It was really cool. Everybody's really welcoming, awesome drinks, beautiful space.
Hospitality was through the roof.
Yeah. And so we talked to Casey, who was in the previous episode, if we could get a moment to get Al on camera, because we put a video together. If you haven't seen it, it's on Instagram. Go check it out. Cool space. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to have a moment with Al just so we could talk about the opening of the tasting room.
We were literally looking for like 2 to 3 minutes tops, right? And I ended up sitting down on the couch with him for, I don't know, like, total uncut time was probably like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and he just opened up and, you know, and just shared everything from the construction of the new sanctuary to some of the details, stuff that you guys will see in that. We'll show in the episode as well. But if you have an opportunity to go down and visit the space there, I should say, like, if you guys are in Denver and looking for a really cool place to go have a great tasting, a really cool tour, and just a fantastic vibe and a lounge there, just go hit up this Whiskey Sanctuary spot. It is awesome. But he kind of talks more about the space there and what it meant to them as a project. And really, I mean, really back to their ethos, the there are no shortcuts. And the time he gave us was just like...
Yeah, I did not expect that. He was, you know, he's a very gracious host, an awesome, welcoming guy. And so, you know, he kind of just started running with us all over the place and just, you know, telling us all about it. Just like we got a private tour of the new space from Al, and then sat down and had that conversation with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. You know, on a special night, like, I just cannot express my gratitude to the team there and the time he gave us for a special night. He's got, you know, they've got friends and family from all over coming in and doing this, and he took the time out to chat with us, which was just, I mean, just an immense treasure. So thank you, Al, for the time you gave us. And, you know, we didn't have an opportunity to meet him at our first interview with him. And so this is the first time we got to meet him, and it was killer. So Al is a great guy, and his passion really comes through in this particular interview, and it really comes out in their products. So, and you guys will see it come through in that new tasting room. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So enjoy this episode, this bonus content, this bootleg episode with Al Laws.
Yep. So you've now been open for 13 years.
Yeah, 13 and a half.
And so tell us what does this particular thing mean to you? And
oh man,
tell us about the journey to get here.
Yeah, so when we started out, we wanted to be a wholesale manufacturer, right? We weren't interested in this side of what this was. We were very focused on the whiskey. So we learned pretty soon on that, you know, there's more to this than that. So there's an hospitality element to it. And so we soon had our version of a tasting room, which was, you know, pretty low key. You've been in the one we had before.
Yeah.
But we added some kind of interesting elements to it. But at the same time, we wanted it to be, you know, we still wanted it to have like this authenticity.
Right.
So, and we still today, like, this was not supposed to open today. It was supposed to open years ago. But, you know, 5 years in permitting because I don't know why. And then 2.5 years of construction. And I have a lot of reasons why that took so long.
The staircase is notwithstanding, right?
Yeah, like, this is a really complicated staircase. It's not when you draw it on AutoCAD.
Right.
But when you have to actually physically build it, it's very complicated.
Wait, and not to digress too far, but you said that each one of these steps had to be custom cast.
Yeah.
And then they weigh like 250 pounds. The installation must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, making them, because originally when they come in to template them, they were like, oh, well, we're like, oh, it's easy. And it was like $6,000 or something for this. Oh no, it wasn't $6,000. Because they're like, well, every one of these is different. And they're like, no, there's just three types. And they're like, no, there isn't.
And we're as-built, like, oh, is very different.
Just as built. That's the line. I'm like, oh yeah. We had to learn a lot of this stuff along the way. And it cost more and more and more every time we had to learn.
So 2.5 years later, and you had some issues getting your final occupancy certification, but
that's right. We had, and you know, I'm not going to blame, like, I have a lot of blame for a lot of like inspecting agencies and this like this, and I'm not a big fan, but I'm not going to, the fire department held this up another 4 or 5 months, but they had a legitimate reason to do that. And as a design issue, And when we heard like what that was, we're like, oh yeah, we understand.
Right.
But why does it take 5 months to extend a fire escape and build a little room? But that's what the modern
because
world.
Because it does.
Because like, everything takes that long.
Yeah. There's no reason.
No.
It just is.
But we tried to build this during COVID, folks. So like, oh man. Like, you see the news and you see supply chain stuff. We live supply chain stuff.
Absolutely.
Stuff that when you would look at like Wall Street charts of various commodity prices going through the floor, like tripling. Oh yeah.
Well, that's happened. Your background, right? Financial analyst,
yeah.
right?
Like, I'm an economist by training and oil and gas equity analyst. But we're watching this and we're like, no. And then it goes up more and goes up more. And then all of a sudden,
it can't possibly go any higher. And then it does.
And then it does. And then it's like our wood pack. We don't have a lot of wood in this building. Went from like 66,000 to 180,000. Jeez. And then it came back down. But
it never returned back to 66.
Oh, no. No, none of this. And so then the metal, 110? CMU blocks. We had to buy it before we had a contractor because they weren't available. So we were like speculating on CMU blocks. Yeah, this is a very painful experience. But look at it now. Okay. It's like so a very
two and a
cool
half years
now.
Of construction and permitting and COVID speculated buying later.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about how this came out? Because
it's unbelievable. It's better than I would ever expected.
So now that it's done, what is your like? What are you looking forward to the most?
So it kind of goes to one of your earlier questions. This is we've been looking for this to be the next kind of stair step for us for the Laws Whiskey brand. We've made really good whiskey. We've had some hospitality interaction. We have reached out of our state and done fairly well outside of our state. And we're still trying to kind of own the state. And we have a lot of great competitors and peers in the state. So it's a tough, this is a very competitive state for this kind of business. Plus now we're the sponsor of the CU athletics program and we're making bigger steps.
And you had a special release for that, correct?
Oh yeah, Ralphie's Reserve. It's doing great. Perfect for tailgating, perfect for, throw it on some ice with some mixer in it. And then we also have Black and Gold, which is CU Athletics Director and our head blender and I, we pick the barrels and the blend.
Wow.
And that's a higher end sippers whiskey. So that one turned up fantastic as well. But yeah, these are all affinity type products that go to help, support feeding Ralphie, the buffaloes.
Yeah.
And then also to the NIL program. So to pay these athletes. And
absolutely.
CU's had a great year and I'm not a CU alum. Peyton, our CFO, is. My daughter is. So we've done a lot at CU before and we're pretty happy about this. And Coach Prime is like the best.
Yeah.
Like he is just the most positive individual. He just fits our whole thing. Like being positive is really important. No matter in whiskey, it's gotta be important because you don't know what tomorrow brings.
I'll tell you what, I'm a Niner fan and I loved watching him win the Super Bowl with us. Like that was amazing. So my kids and I, we've been really into watching CU. I was never a CU Boulder fan until he got there. And so now
see that. And I love the doubters and the back and forth. And there's a lot of like parallels to starting a whiskey company. And like everyone's like, oh, well, it's not old enough or it's this or it's that. I'm like, take it for what it's worth. Stop trying to compare it to Blanton's or something like that. It's not supposed to be Blanton's.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be something different from that. And that's what we've, our whole foundation has been on that. We make a four grain out of the gate. We make 100% rye whiskey. We make 100% wheat whiskey. Those are things that are like not done. And then we're using heirloom variety grains and we're supporting family farms. And these sound like sound bites for like marketing, and they're not. These are absolutely real. And the cool part about it, no one ever has to like make up a story here. We have plenty of stories that are true. So we don't need to change our name every 2 years or change our label every 2 years.
Right.
Like, this is who we are. And the authenticity comes through.
Let me ask you, I mean, you mentioned you originally focused on wholesale, but then you end up on the retail side. Like, what prompted that leap? Like, how did you make that leap? And like, what led to this?
Well, the brand can only grow on its own for a certain time, and then it needs something that distinguishes it. And we want to make this, and I think you'll probably agree after seeing it, it's a destination place for Denver.
Absolutely.
It's not the only destination place, but it is a cool destination place for Denver. So if you come visit and you're downtown in a hotel, they're probably going to say, hey, go over here. And we're not trying to compete with our like customers at restaurants right. and bars necessarily. We're just trying to be another thing that allows you to experience what you could buy at the liquor store or have one of our great, you know, friends at various bars and say, hey, you need to try this. Now you can come in here and you can, at the source, you can try these whiskeys in a different form, in a cocktail. Right. But we're not going to be open at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be done at 10.
Right.
So it's just a pre-dinner, post-dinner, absolutely. Come here with a business
and your location. Like, or, you know, yeah. your neighbors down the street joked when they first opened their place that they bought a saloon, right? Because they were, you know.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the first time my wife and I came down, we've been visiting both your locations, right? Both,
yeah.
you know, your neighbors, Bear Creek down there. And I came up here after and we saw Casey's nice big chalk drawing that she had on the wall that was super cool, right? It was a yeah. big one, you know. And you know, it was a definitely different vibe just several years ago to today. So yes. now like everything's being built up and there's some cool stuff going yeah. on. So like this now adding to that space is a huge deal.
So this is an elevation of the brand. So I would tell you that our whiskeys, we never take a knee to anyone, whether it's Kentucky, Tennessee,
absolutely. What
else? We make as good a whiskey. We make as good a whiskey as any of these other places in the United States. We have a lot of peers to do as well. And then we're like, oh, well, we have this tour and we have this little whiskey chapel with free pews that we got from a Methodist church. And and like they gave them to us. And we had this, but that experience, while it was kind of cutesy, was below the brand standard.
Okay. Yeah.
But the education that you got was well above the brand standard.
I would agree.
Because you got a lot out of those things and you got to learn a lot about what we do and then just in general how whiskey's made.
Right.
So we purposely did that for a long time and then we're like, now we need to catch up.
Right.
And you know, being in a our little bottle shop when the we had the same company, Nahaus, who built all of our bars. Built all the bars and the tables that were in that little room. So we've been working with them for that long. Right. They do amazing work. They built a whiskey room in my basement.
Oh, wow.
Zach and his team is fantastic.
I understand you have quite a collection that goes with that. So.
I used to.
Oh, okay.
COVID decimated that.
I can't imagine why.
You even read in our bottles about how whiskey is something to be shared with others. During COVID, there's a lot of whiskey that didn't get shared with others.
Yeah.
Irreplaceable kind of whiskeys that you'll never ever be able to get again or unless you want to pay thousands of dollars.
But did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
There you go.
That's when the world's matters. Ending, you're like, this is a great way to end the world. So, so I got rid of a lot of it. And I have not, maybe 10 years ago, I would have considered myself a collector of this. And I would define a collector as somebody who buys it faster than they drink it. Because they were never afraid to open it. It's right. never going to be dusted and all this kind of stuff. So, right. and then we hit this point where now I don't buy it anymore. We have 6,000 barrels of stuff that I think is world class. And
absolutely.
And then I would rather buy.
Well, and even some of the stuff that actually was on, I have it on good authority, was went into a bottle that really wasn't intended to go in the bottle as labeled as such, but Sam was especially proud of that Costco release.
Oh,
and I bought. I had to put several bottles of those on reserve because those are so good.
Yeah. So we have a new director of sales.
Okay.
And he had it like this week. He's like, "What is this Costco?" When we talk about, "Well, you don't know about it?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "We had our prior sales director, our West. She was awesome, and she set this all up. She's here tonight. That's who I hugged as we walked by."
Oh, okay. In the Buffalo Bulls. Okay, yeah. gotcha.
And that was her husband in the Detroit.
Okay.
So she changed industries back in the summer, but with this new, she set that up, and when she's like, "Well, can we make? Because we don't want Costco to have. We didn't want them to have, because they take lower margin. We didn't want this to be. We already had a rough time because of the wine and grocery. Our heart is with the independents for the most part. We'll sell to anybody. We're agnostic to that.
Right.
We got to sell to everybody.
Absolutely.
But we were like, the way that happened was really kind of bad. So we wanted to go, okay, well, we want to do this. You guys want to do this with us, but we want, say, 300 cases. I'm like, okay, we'll build it, but I'm going to build you 600 cases. Like, no, I don't know. Oh, I've been thinking about this for 2 years, what I wanted to do here. And you get to be the guinea pig on this.
Okay.
And it's not really being a guinea pig because this stuff is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So we blended 4-year-old bourbon, about 5.5 years old, with four-grain bourbon with 8-year-old two-grain bourbon, which is essentially corn whiskey, but in a new barrel. And that is not good until it hits about 5 years.
Okay.
And then it starts to fill in, you get more oak quality. But it is kind of one-dimensional, or maybe not one-dimensional, probably two. But it has a huge amount of like creme brulee caramel. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it. There's no wood depth to it. Even at 8 years, it's like, yeah. Well, it fills in various gaps in the foregrain. And it's like easy drinking, phenomenally sweet.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is what we're going to sell them. This is pretty good. I'm like, it's not pretty good. This is amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're going to use up all this stuff that I've been looking at for, again, 2 years. I'm like, who would buy this? Because we wanted to do it all at once. We didn't want to piecemeal it. More barrels in the batch always makes things better.
Right.
So that was our, that's what you got to have.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's
Sam,
really good, right?
Sam, like when he put his badge of like pride on that.
Yes.
I was like, okay, because I thought it was great because I bought a bottle, right? And then I bought another one. And then we ended up having a conversation with Sam. And I told my wife, I said, and he told me that you guys released a couple more pallets to Costco. And so I said, yeah. Megan, you gotta go look. And if they have it, buy me 3 bottles. So we ended up buying 4 more bottles. I mean, so they're sitting on our shelves at home because it was so good.
I've got one too.
I have one in my office. And I gave it to Fitz. And then he goes, well, I got this in my office. It was open. I'm like, give me mine back. Yeah, it was That's really funny. Good. And so, but it was like, it was an idea and then supported by our head blender and Sam made it. And so it was like really cool to kind of all come together on this. Like, this is what we're doing, guys. And we hadn't done that before. And it was sort of the start of us, I guess, marrying our own stuff. Like, so everything we ever put out was like, oh, this is an 8-year. So it's all like very tight. And then we had like, then we were like, oh, well, we just did this. We just blended basically cross different types of whiskey that we made plus age statements. And then that brought to us this idea of our origin stuff. We're doing origins. We're basically a set of barrels that I had made when nobody else worked here. And then I'd sold them to my friends. And then they, in a usury fashion, sold them back to me. Or to a point like, I can't pay that much for it, guys. Like, we need to.
Right.
And then we bottled it all at 12. And those were our first origin stuff. And then we're like, well, we need to continue this on. And, well, why don't we vertically integrate or do a vertical of our foregrain? And that was our very first, man, it's our first time really blending our own stuff.
Yeah.
And it's complicated. Like, it really is. And We have a lot of respect for those that do blending. It's really tough to do. And we're slowly learning it. I think we did a really good job of the bourbon. The hardest one was the next one with Cornerstone was rye. Because rye, we don't make as much. And rye is very distinctive year to year because we're using only grain of that year.
Right.
And so 1 year it might be really wet. And so the rye grain is really plump and has lots of like extra proteins, and so it doesn't attenuate well, and it gives off different esters, and it does all these sort of. So to blend that, say that's 5 year, and then you had some 7, and then you have some 10. You're like, oh, this is gonna be easy. We'll just like we did with the bourbon, which was a lot easier. We couldn't do it. We're like, took 5 iterations or so. Like, you're like, this doesn't taste right. Like, why is it? And then like, what's wrong with these barrels? There's nothing wrong with these barrels. They're just in a weird spot.
Yeah. Well, and what you guys have done, like with the finishing, like the Sauternes rye that you guys did, like that was really good. And I think doing those kind of special releases with the rye is especially a good strategy because you can add a different dimension to each expression as it comes out, and then you're able to maximize different particular.
So none of those things is random. So in order for us to execute any of these ideas, whoever's idea it is has to come with like, here's the null hypothesis. What are we trying for? We're going to put this in this barrel. Well, why? Well, we're going to pick up on the notes of this. I think it'll add different mouthfeel because these wet barrels are wet, or these like, that's how it all goes. And then we're like, okay, is everyone going to vote? Everyone's we're going to do this. And then we get enough of the barrels together and we do it. And
that's awesome.
And then we make that exist. And then next time we do it, we're going to make it better. And that's where the cognac finish series, the mini modified Solera maybe.
Sure.
That's where that came from. It's like, at some point you're like, oh, I'm finishing this in cognac barrels. That's great. And like, well, we should pay homage to cognac, which is a whole different thing. It's a type of brandy that's made excellent through blending. Right. Blend it to excellence. Armagnac, different. Very little blending, a lot of like vintage year, a little rougher, things that like whiskey people would like more.
Right.
And so we're like, oh, we have Armagnac barrels. Those have done really well. But the cognac thing was like, well, how could we elevate this? I'm like, well, we could just do more and more of them, put them in a tank and then keep Solaire. I'm like, or we could go get one of those blending tanks from France. And that's what we did. And it took 2 years to fill it. And then since that time, this is our fourth release. And so every year we take 20%, 25% of it off. And then we immediately refill it with three-year-old bourbon that was aged an additional year to 2 years in cognac cask. So it's kind of a three steps. And then it gets to marry and gets to integrate in a breathing, living, breathing vessel.
Yeah.
And it keeps changing and it gets richer. And now it's, I think the oldest in it's probably almost 9 years and the youngest is five. But it just keeps evolving.
Right.
And that to us is really cool. Like, well, so cool.
I tell you what, I mean, I could sit here and talk to you about whiskey all night long, but I'm pretty sure you have other folks that you wanna meet and greet. So tell us before we let you go.
Yeah.
You came to Colorado from Canada by way of New York.
Yes.
And you have a lot of influences here, a lot of gothic influences, gargoyles, some other stuff. So tell us about the original vision and we talked about the construction, right? But tell us like what does it mean to you now?
Even before that, you find gargoyles all over the place in the distillery. Some people would gift them to us.
Because you originally had the sign up before you went to Laws, right? It was Gargoyle
Industries. Is our holding company.
Okay.
And then Gargoyle Holdings is the company that owns all the real estate.
Okay.
And gargoyles are real important to me. And I don't know where it started, but it had more to do with, I like the imagery of it, but it's also, if you know what they are, it's the inside thing. Like, you go, oh, they're scary, or they're Satan, or they're not. They're neither of those things. You know what gargoyles are for, right? They scare away evil spirits.
Yeah.
So
we talked about Sam and Casey a little bit about it. Got a little education.
Company,
but yes.
Drink no evil.
There you go.
So, and then I have all kinds of gargoyle.
I was going to ask you about your tattoo.
This is the first gargoyle one. And this is me being patient.
This sitting is patience,
because I came from Wall Street. And hey, something happens. 5 minutes, you got to be 99% right. You're always jacked up in this. And then, so when we first started laying barrels down, my wife would get so mad at me. I'd be like, hey, barrel seven's developing. She goes, you just made it 3 weeks ago. Would you stop opening the barrels? I'm like, well, but she's like, slow this down. So that was my first, hey, stop.
Right.
Style goes way back.
Yeah.
And then, you have to wait. This is a generational thing. And then I started to think about it in terms of like, hey, my son's seven. This barrel, we harvest it, he'll be 14. Like those kind of things that were interesting in trying to think about what these things were.
Yeah.
Because they're living, they're breathing, they're there. They're individuals. You put them in a batch, they become a community. There's all these like cool aspects to it.
Right.
That I had to like learn.
Right.
Yeah. But the gargoyle stuff is like, it's all tied to that, right? Drink no evil. And and all the, the Egyptian, like Eye of Horus and Eye of Providence, all these things. You'll find those around here. I don't know if we ever put them up yet. They'll be around. They won't be necessarily as obvious as that one. They'll just be subtle.
Right.
So a little bit of the
Illuminati. You what, this place is beautiful. The staircase came together. You're now, what are you calling this now? Are you calling this the barrel now or what?
Yeah, this is like, that's what I call it.
And so as you explained to me, you had so many screw holes and nail holes on the.
You couldn't paint it with like regular paint and make it smooth and it didn't look right. You're like, well, our contractor is like, what if it was like char? I'm like, that's exactly right, Tom. It'd be like the inside of the barrel.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, would you do that? Well, the architects like it. I go, I guarantee you the architects are going to like it.
Yeah.
And let's see if the plaster guy can do it. And the guy was like, yes. And it's like, it saved him and trying to argue about.
Oh, absolutely.
And it looks great. And actually have it. Something that hasn't been put up yet. We'll go over there with this big round. It's like a barrel head, but bigger.
Okay.
It's going to look like a bung in the side of the wall. And Independence Dave's making it for us.
Oh, that's very cool.
We'll get our barrels from.
Yeah. Well, eventually you're going to have to cut out another hole to make room for the next level staircase, right?
Yeah. So I don't know, give us 2 years and then we'll move towards getting the roof deck done. But we can do most of the roof deck because we now have this glorious extended staircase to the roof. We can get a lot of that done without interfering with the business. But what interferes, what we'd have to shut down for is, as you can see here, that's where the stairs would continue and they would go all the way up and they would exit out onto the roof.
Another whole batch of individual cast steps and...
Oh, same as this, but I think there's been some learning. We would probably use the same... Joan of Arc is a contractor. Sure. We'd probably use them because they definitely ground their way through this. They did... It's hard. So, yeah, we came up with... People like, oh, it's just the Laws Whiskey House tasting room. I'm like, well, that's bland.
Yeah, it's pretty bland.
And then we have the church. This is, you know, the two-story Gothic window and all this. Yep. It's like, it needs to have some kind of vibe like that to it, some Gothic vibe to it. And then, so we did a internal contest, really, like, okay, well, let's come up with a whole bunch of things. Some of the names were, we have a bunch of dudes on the packaging line that like metal. So we had a lot of really heavy metal ones. And, you know, you've seen our Barrel of the Beast stuff. And yeah. We have another one coming out with True in February.
Okay.
So it came down to this contest. So we came up with the Whiskey Sanctuary. This kind of fits to the church thing. Plus, absolutely. It gives it a little bit of dark kind of thing at Laws Whiskey House. So it gives it that fancy, you absolutely. Know, like cool. a fancy hotel. Yeah, yeah.
Well, last thing before we go, right? You have right over this room, you have the Whiskey Church, correct?
Yes.
And then that's where your tours are starting now?
That's right.
So they're going to start in the Whiskey Church. They're going to learn about it. And then they're going to walk through your facility and they're going to end in your favorite room.
My favorite room.
Tell us about that
like
little process.
Tasting center or like... It's more like a speakeasy, like it has that feel, but you have to be close in there.
Right.
So everyone has to stand a lot closer together. And then our amazing like brand ambassadors have this cool lighting around them.
Yeah.
It kind of makes them look larger than life.
Yeah.
And then the bottles are lit behind and it becomes another place to tell stories, like around a campfire kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It has a very cool vibe.
Yeah.
When the doors are closed, especially.
Yeah.
And then, you come out of there and then you can either, look for merchandise or like get bottles or you can try most of them in there and then go upstairs to experience the whiskey that made here, but at the same time, in a different way. We can talk to you about how the rye is mostly drank in a cocktail. So, well, you should have them cut.
Right.
And I can talk to you about that all day long. Doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's now I can show you.
Right.
And the wheat whiskey, I'm a big fan of a wheat whiskey this summer because I think it tastes good on ice and has these cool orange notes that come out and kind of like a creamsicle. But we can do a lot with these whiskeys in a cocktail that we get to decide. Most of the things we've got right now are like classic cocktail. That will evolve. We'll move to, have some pretty crazy names for things too.
I'm sure you will.
But we have some really great bartenders and mixologists and we're going to let them... We're not going to keep them on a leash. Like, go do this. Like, create something great with what we make. We even make some of the modifiers. Make our own Curacao, make our own Amaro. You can have Antica or you can have ours. Like, there's some other element of, like, this is made here.
Right.
And it's different. Let's experience what these grains grown in Colorado by family farms in a specific place in the state, what they taste in the form of whiskey.
Right.
So fun.
Yeah.
Flavor experiences.
Al, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a lot of other hands to shake. So
All right. If
you're in town in Denver, come check out the Whiskey Sanctuary here at Laws. Check out Al's new digs, the barrel, everything else goes in this place. This place is fantastic. So thanks for your time. And
thank you.
Honestly, I don't have a whiskey, but I would cheers you right now because...
Let's go get one.
All right, let's go do it.
All right.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Whiskey Wanderlust. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all other major podcast platforms. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Follow us on social media and visit us online at whiskeywanderlust.co.